Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:58 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 10th. It was a hopeful day in here today, with some speculation that perhaps the UK and Ireland can come to some form of accommodation on the backstop and the border between the Republic and Northern Ireland. There was also some hopeful speculation that Chinese and the USA may be able to come to some form of modest accommodation in terms of the trade war, and that also represented a bullish phenomenon. There was also news today that the 30-year auction of treasuries by the USA went off without a hitch, and it delivered a record low yield for the 30-year. But of course, the more positive attitude is also translating into less demand for a safe haven. So US Treasuries were stronger today by 7 basis points, and provided this low around the 1.5% level holds, then that is a higher reaction low. Now, we can clearly see that there is a sequence of lower rally highs. And in fact, we don't just have the sequence of lower rally highs. We have a series of ranges, one below another. So this has been a very consistent downtrend. But this was the biggest pop on the upside, and in at least a year, and it encountered resistance in the region of the lower side of that overhead trading range. So we have now got a higher reaction low. Now the bigger question is whether we can see the yield sustain a move back above the 2% level. Now, when I think we look all the way back to what's been going on over the last decade, we can see that 1.5% has been an area of resistance for the bond market over the course of the last 8 years. So there is a fighting chance that the high on the bond market is in, the low in yields is in, and we're likely to see some support building or at least top formation development emerging. It's still early days, and the deflationary consensus is incredibly powerful. It has reached really quite epic proportions. There is a very clear rationale behind it. We do have evidence of a slowing economy. I'm going to post a substantial number of internal market indicators in comment of the day today, but the message that they're sending is not 100% in favor of either a deflationary environment or for a breakout. The one thing we do know is that the S&P 500 has been going sideways for much of the last year. There has been an upward bias to that trading. Ranges like this don't last indefinitely. And there has been a significant compression in terms of the amount of trading that's been going on. You can see, for example, that back in May, the low was somewhere just above 2700. The peak was closer to 2950. Right now, the lows are closer to 2850, and the peak is around 3000. So there's been a compression in the trading. What it also suggests is that there is that supply and demand are in relative equilibrium. So the arguments both for and against either a top or a breakout are reasonably well balanced, and the fact that the market is continuing to find support in the region of the trend mean, and that the advanced decline lines for the major indices like the S&P 500 or indeed the New York Stock Exchange are still pointing higher, that's a positive. On the other hand, the underperformance of the small caps, which mirrors the underperformance of the NASDAQ advanced decline line, well, that's something that I think people will be worried about. I've seen evidence with my own eyes down in the customs warehouses in Los Angeles port of much diminished economic activity. That does suggest that there is going to be a at least the potential, at least for a growth shock in the USA over coming months. So that is a risk. I would assume that people are reasonably are aware of the potential for slowing economic data. One thing that I am paying particular attention to is the performance of the leaders in this environment. Leaders tend to lead for a reason, and they tend to lead in both directions. That was certainly the case back in 2010 and 11 when Amazon was breaking out to new all-time highs. And then when we think about the fact that there has been a significant loss of momentum over the course of the last 12 months, and the fact that it is trading below its trend mean, well, I think people will conclude that this is not the first time it's traded below the trend mean. And this was the largest pullback, but in percentage terms, it was not so much larger than previous pullbacks. But the most important point is that following other periods when the market has ranged for what have been occasionally rather lengthy periods of time, then following the pullbacks, it has been able to push on to new high ground. And that is why people were buying the dip back in December. They were expecting Amazon to not only get back up to 2000, but also to break on the upside. So it does have some work to do. We're at the lower side of the range right now. And if it's going to bounce, well, this is really the area I think people will be expecting that to happen. We're going to have Netflix's earnings within the week. Now, the price is starting to bounce from an oversold condition and the region of the lows put in December. But there has been a very significant loss of uptrend consistency. We had the very clear acceleration in the first half of 2018, and then the subsequent very deep pullback, and now a very profound period of volatile ranging. Well, we're starting to get into this ranging time and size. This is potentially a type 3 top, and type 3 tops never start off as type 3 tops. This one started with an acceleration, massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and is being followed by this period of volatile ranging. It does suggest that it's going to be a short on the rallies. When we then think about Tesla, well, Tesla was doing better yesterday, and it was in mildly positive territory in here today, but we are rather at the do or die level here. It's got to push back above the trend mean in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. So there are a substantial number of the shares that did particularly well in the early part of this cycle that have experienced a pullback. Now, the areas that are doing best are what are considered quality companies, and there is a factor for that. And that index is consolidating mostly above the peak put in September of last year. Then when we think about the semiconductors index, which is a classic cyclical, then that is also consolidating above the peak put in 2018. These are supportive of the view that we're going to have a break on the upside. I think that it is quite likely that that is going to happen, but it doesn't negate the potential that we're going to have an economic shock at some point next year or at some point over the coming months. That's where I think there is the potential that we get the bubble first and we get the decline afterwards. In fact, declines always follow the bubble. But I think it is quite likely, considering the trajectory of monetary and fiscal stimulus, where the USA is running a fiscal stimulus of approximately 4.4% at present, and China is, they've copied just about everything else from the USA, and they've copied their fiscal deficit as well. It's also about 4.4%. One of the primary points where people think that there could be a deal between the USA and China is in attempting to arrest the advance of the US dollar. Well, The dollar index was in negative territory today, the thing that we've seen clearly over the course of the last year has been that breakouts to new recovery highs have not been sustained. But what we have seen is ample evidence of support being found in the region of the trend mean. So there is still an overextension relative to the trend mean. The price had got up to test the 99.5 level. 100 has been an area of resistance over the course of the last nearly 5 years. So it's a natural area where we might anticipate a pause. But we're going to have to see more substantive evidence of an end to the trade war in order to really start to negate the demand for a safe haven from the dollar. Now, the gold price today was in negative territory for much the same reason. And it is pulling back from this $1,500 area. This is the second downward dynamic we've seen in the last four sessions. It does suggest that we are going to see a period of further consolidation in the gold price. There is a sequence of lower rally highs over the course of the last month, and it does hold out the prospect that we will eventually get back to test the region of the trend mean. I was mentioning in yesterday's broadcast that occasionally when you see a relatively slow pace of mean reversion, that it can often be concluded with a somewhat faster pace of mean reversion towards the end of the consolidation. That's potentially possible with the gold price. That's particularly true today of the gold price in pounds, and it has pulled back in a very dynamic manner. This pretty much fulfills the conditions for a downside key reversal, although it had not pushed on to a new recovery high, but it was certainly a failure at the upper side of this range that's persisted over the last week, the last month. And downside follow-through tomorrow would likely see it breaking down and would increase the potential that it's going to come back towards that $1,100 area. Of course, when we look at the weekly chart, then gold is at a new all-time high in pound terms. There is a pretty wide overextension relative to the trend mean, and it wouldn't be too surprising that we get some consolidation in the region of this all-time peak. Well, if the dollar was weaker in here today, the renminbi was somewhat stronger, but certainly not in a dynamic manner. The A-share index was in positive territory. I think it is time to begin to start looking at some of the commodity producers in the emerging markets and the Chinese market if the dollar is up for grabs in terms of as its safe haven status, the desire for a positive yield, which has been helping to sustain the advance. If some of those factors become less compelling, then there will be a rationale for thinking about some of the emerging markets. The A-share index is at least, which of course is really very state influenced, is at least bouncing from the region of the trend mean. The obviously the unrest in Hong Kong has been deleterious to Hong Kong listed shares, but the H share index is at least steadying from around the 10,000 level. The Indian market has been steadying as well from around the 11,000 market level, and it had that upside key reversal yesterday. Didn't quite follow through on the upside today, but the massive upward dynamic that greeted the news of a cut to the corporate tax rate, I think that's perhaps the most important thing we've seen in the Indian market in really quite some time. The Indonesian market has been, I think, sustained by the weakness of the local currency. It was in negative territory in here today. If we redenominate that, we can clearly see that there has certainly been some selling pressure as a result of the weakness in the Indonesian rupiah. It is now back at an area of potential support. The Vietnamese market, not typing in the correct place. But the Vietnamese market has been pausing around this 1,000-point level for most of the last year. Again, here's another market where there has been a very clear compression in trading. And it does suggest that when we do get a break, it is going to be both emphatic and surprising relative to the compression in trading that has taken place over most of this year. When we think about what's going on in Japan, obviously the yen is a major consideration, but the Nikkei is at least pausing here in the region of the trend mean. I think the most important thing that the Nikkei has done has been to demonstrate support in the region of this 20,000 level. It has just about broken the sequence of lower rally highs. If it can hold now the region of the trend mean and the fact that the trend mean is starting to turn upwards, then that really would be positive. The second section index has now pushed back above the trend mean, so that is the first time it's been able to do that this year. It was touch and go for a while there, but if it is now potentially possible that it's going to break the sequence of lower rally highs since the beginning of 2018, and that could suggest a return to demand dominance. So Japan is starting to turn. There are some of the necessary conditions that need to be in place to start to think about a more bullish environment for Japan are falling into place, and the yen is weakening. There has been obviously some resistance around the 105 level. We saw that in January. We saw it again in August. It hasn't quite yet broken the downtrend, but it's certainly looking like it's a more realistic possibility. When we look at the Australian dollar, which has been under really a great deal of pressure over most of this year, it was in positive territory in here today. It's certainly been putting in a little support over the course of the last 6 weeks. It does hold out the prospect of pushing back up towards the trend mean. That would break the sequence of lower rally highs. Of course, if there is even a whiff, and most particularly if there is a successful interim or modest truce in terms of the trade war, then that will be viewed very positively by investors. The continuous commodity index is hanging right here in the region of the sequence of lower rally highs and the region of the trend mean. If it can sustain a move back above this 400 point level, then that will break the downtrend and it will begin to suggest that at least we can get a push back up towards the upper side of this lengthy range, which has persisted since the middle of 2016. Copper prices were in positive territory in here today. Of course, we need to see more positive action to confirm that this is more than short-term support, but it is certainly starting to look better. It could quite easily have broken down over the course of the last week, and that has not occurred. But $2.50 is, I think, a very important area of potential support. Wheat prices today were rather weak, and wheat, of course, is a major food commodity. When we look at this trend over the course of the last 3 years, it's been very volatile, but and it doesn't look now that there is some resistance around the $5 area. So we don't have evidence of food price inflation coming through for general commodities. The imports of U.S. pork into China continue to move higher, but there is plenty of it around. And the price was in negative territory today, not in a dynamic manner. The most important thing it's doing is keeping that sequence of higher reaction lows. Coffee prices have been pausing around the dollar area, but this has been a rather dynamic move over the course of the last 3 or 4 days. It has now broken that sequence of higher reaction lows. And of course, this is very closely tied to what's going on in terms of Brazil and the currency. Weakness in the Brazilian currency translates into weakness for the coffee price. When we look at oil prices, then the potential that we could have a pause in the trade war is positive for demand. Demand has been one of the significant lagging factors in terms of any kind of bullish phenomenon for the oil price, but it is at least pausing around the $55 area. And when we look at it on a weekly basis, then outside of the extraordinary volatility in response to the drone attack on Saudi Arabia, it has at least been able to hold around this $55 to $60 area. A number of the fracking companies are going to require higher prices in order to hedge their production. And what that suggests is it's going to be rather difficult for prices to rally above 80. But by the same token, it's going to be quite difficult for prices to sustain a move below 40, because the USA is now the marginal producer, and their production is very sensitive to price, and they have the ability to tailor that production to the price. Obviously, when we think about what is hopeful in terms of the global economy, then the potential for the Brexit story to become a non-issue is a very compelling one. The Euro Stoxx index has bounced from the region of the trend mean. The DAX index has also been reasonably steady. The FTSE 100 has bounced from the 7,000 level, which is the upper side of the 16-year base formation. When we look at the pound versus the euro, then we have very clear evidence of an emphatic upside key day reversal. And that is now taking it back up towards the region of the trend mean. But these kinds of dynamic moves don't usually simply get brushed aside. We had the decline below 110. It failed to sustain the move below 108. It is now pushed back up. It's likely it's going to go right back up and test the upper side of the range. The upper side of the range is around 115. I think we have to consider that these base formations are very volatile. That is because there is a war going on between supply and demand, and there is obviously a very emotional argument going on. Theresa May's exit deal is looking more attractive by the day, because whatever unsavory aspects of it that have been agreed to can be blamed on her. And if the Irish border question can be settled, then that will be seen as a victory. I think it will then be rather advantageous for the Conservatives to go and have an election, or perhaps not. And the potential here is that some form of accommodation can be found. Of course, it's still very uncertain, but we are only 3 weeks away from the deadline. It certainly behooves Boris Johnson to stick to that deadline, because that is the only way that urgency can be injected into this whole negotiation process. If we can in fact get an agreement, then it's quite likely money is going to flood into the UK. It's trading on a really rather significant relative discount to other other developed markets. And that is potentially true also for the stock market, for the property market, but perhaps not quite as bullish for the bond markets. And the yield today was really up in a dynamic manner. It's the most dynamic move we've seen in quite some time. Equally true is that there is still a sequence of lower rally highs, but even here on the weekly chart, we can see that there is the clear potential that we may be looking at a failed break below the 50 basis point level. And if that's the case, well, there is the potential that we could see a rally in the yield of a full percent, which would be a 200% advance in terms of the yield from where it was sitting just this morning. So there is the real potential that gilt prices represent a clear short if we do get an answer that is acceptable to the market in terms of the Brexit debate. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.